From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com. You're listening to the Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
Brian and Vinny, along with Granny and Craig and sometimes other people. They're paid by a con, and they'll say,
everybody. Well, we are here and we are live. It's Brian and Vinny Show, July 6, 2025, figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. And a very exciting show today. We're live on YouTube, video.f4wonline.com. Free on YouTube, free on Spotify, free on Apple Podcasts, free on the front page. It's a free show today. And oh man, the days when people accuse us of being paid by a con. Although I did really like Collision.
Oh, Collision was awesome.
I thought it was a great show. Yeah. So we're going to talk Collision today, and we're going to talk SmackDown, which I didn't think was a great show, but it was 2 hours, so I'm giving it 5 stars.
Sure.
That's the way it works. Thank God those three-hour SmackDown shows are over, because they sucked. But now, we got a lot to get into. Let's not waste any time. Away we go!
We watched AEW Collision 100.
Yeah. Can you believe it? 100 episodes of this show.
And it was from the Toyota Arena in Ontario, California, July 5th, 2025, for those of you keeping score at home. Apparently, I forgot to update that date since May. But I'm doing the math in my head. I believe that's right. So Adam Cole comes out for a promo. It's 100 episodes. Hooray! He's proud to be the TNT champion. Vows to hold his title through 2025 and beyond. Just quite the claim.
Good luck, brother.
Yeah. Kyle Fletcher comes out to rebut.
Try to make it through this month.
Honestly, yes. He brings up that day in 2023 when Adam Cole main evented the biggest wrestling show of all time, which is a true fact that still seems impossible to believe. But earlier that night, people forget this, Adam Cole beat Kyle Fletcher in a Ring of Honor tag team title match only to stroke your own ego, he says. I thought it was a strange part of the promo. He says it was the worst night of his life. He wants Cole to feel as bad as he did that night, so he wants a TNT title shot at All In Texas. Out comes Danny Garcia. Says, we have a match tonight. I also want a title shot. And Cole says, that's fine. I will face both of you in a three-way.
And thank God they did this match in the main event, and one man won and one man lost.
Boy, would one man win, that's for sure.
Golly.
Well, I'm just thanking God for Kyle Fletcher right here to say no!
Well,
no, no.
He did say no, but then it was agreed to.
Well, no, he said no to the three-way.
But the point is, like, you know, I love Daniel Garcia and all, but I've seen Daniel Garcia and Adam Cole enough times.
Yeah, sure.
I'm ready for a one-on-one match on pay-per-view. And granted, we did see the match before, and Kyle almost killed the guy. But now it's for the title, one-on-one at the pay-per-view. Thank God it's not a four-way.
Mm-hmm. It's not a four-way. It's not
Although they still do have a show left.
They could add things.
It is possible.
But there's... We see all the time when a advertised singles match is inexplicably a three-way match when the show happens. Teaser.
And then I did like how Garcia's argument for why he should get a shot at the title is, he says, Kyle, you think you should be champion because you beat me? Who hasn't beaten me?
Yeah.
I've been losing my entire career. My entire life. I'm like, I hope you got something better than that, brother. And then he goes, but I keep getting up. I want to earn it. And that's when he challenged Fletcher to the number one contenders.
And Fletcher pointed out the reason he doesn't want a three-way, because I already beat Daniel Garcia when he was TNT champion in the Continental Classic. I never got a one-on-one title match. I want it now. And so they all agreed to do a top contenders match that was already booked, but now it's a top contenders match. And the winner faces Adam Cole at All In.
Kyle's glasses are fantastic. Little raindrops coming from clouds, as far as I can tell. But you can tell they annoy him because halfway through the promo, he took them off. Never to be seen again.
They look like they'd be very annoying. Tony Storm promo video.
Man, everybody on the chat here is making fun of my shirt.
It's a cool shirt.
I think they just want me to take the shirt off.
No one wants that.
And do the show bare-chested. No. Don't tempt me, everybody, because it's 700 degrees in this room.
It is awfully warm.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
Do you know I was watching Dynamite once, and in the middle of an excellent heel run, I might add, the Young Bucks showed up, and Matt was wearing the exact shirt I'm wearing right now.
Really?
Amazon special.
How about that?
I think they're like $9.95.
Well done.
So there you go. Yeah.
Tony Storm promo video. She vows her match against Mercedes will not be the greatest women's match of all time. It will be a lesson, which is that if they hurt the ones you love, you have the right to rip their bloody tits off. Which I don't think is in the Constitution.
No, you're not actually allowed to do that.
Yeah.
You can try.
Some things are worth fighting for, like this big shiny belt over my shoulder. It will be ugly. It will be memorable. It will hopefully discourage you from becoming a pro wrestler. And we'll see you next week. So they had a singles match advertised between Shelton Benjamin and Kevin Knight. And out walks Nick Wayne.
Yeah.
For zero explanation. At least online, Nick said, because I wanted to.
You know, right. People get mad at me. So what I did was, I watched the entrances.
I did too.
Twice.
Okay.
Yes. I wanted to make sure. I don't want to hear it. I watched the whole entrance, and then I watched it again. I said at some point, because Kevin Knight very specifically said, I want a one-on-one match with you, Shelton, on Collision. And then three men came out. And so I watched entrances all the way through twice, the bane of my existence, by the way. And at no point did anybody explain why Nick Wayne was in this match. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. He just was.
So the match was Shelton's the big scary monster. Kevin Knight is the valiant knight, in fact, trying to slay the dragon and getting slayed by the dragon over and over instead. And Nick Wayne's the little weasel playing hit and run, trying to steal pins. It's actually very much like the Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins, John Cena three-way at the Rumble 1 year, now that I think about it. But eventually, because Shelton's so big and scary, the other two were forced to work together to take him out. Then they fight each other for a while, and Shelton returned, and he's throwing these little dudes up into the sky, and you're asking, are they even going to come back down? He's throwing them so high, and everyone's cheering and roaring with approval. And finally, Nick catches Shelton with the Wayne's World, and he goes to make a cover. Kevin Knight breaks up the pin with a UFO splash, and then, so help me God this happened, Kevin Knight pinned Shelton Benjamin.
Yes.
Thank the dear Lord above.
Well, it was nice to see Shelton Benjamin do a job here.
It's not even that. It was nice to see Kevin Knight look competent.
Well, here's the problem, Vinny. Here's the problem, okay? So the opening segment, right? We had a match set up for the pay-per-view, and then a third guy came out and wanted to be in the match, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so it was determined, well, you guys will have a match in the main event, and the winner will get into a one-on-one match, okay? Now, I'm not complaining about Shelton doing a job. I'm glad he did a job, okay? However, we already know that the Hurt Syndicate are facing Jet Speed, right?
Correct.
As far as we know, yeah.
Nick just somehow got into this match for no reason, right?
Because he wanted to.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the next day they announced that this match is now a three-way.
It has announced this now.
Yes, okay. They announced that it's now. They officially made it a three-way. Mm-hmm. Why are Nick and Christian in it? Shouldn't Nick have pinned Shelton Benjamin? They didn't do anything to deserve to get into this match.
Nick was
Kevin
not lying.
Knight finally did something to deserve to be in the match.
Nick was not lying when he said, because I want to.
So, yeah.
That's the whole deal.
He wanted to be in the match. He didn't win. But now him and Christian are in the match for a three-way.
See, I figured that would be the match they would do, but they would do something on Dynamite to explain it.
Well, no, they've already announced it.
Okay. Well, that makes no sense, Brian.
I don't know, man.
You know, Nick's turned into quite the heel.
Oh, he's a complete prick.
He didn't even... It wasn't even hard for him. He's just... Babyface. Literally, babyface.
Brian, what are you doing?
God, my back itches. Can you not pay attention to it?
Where are you?
God, okay. I can't get back there.
All right.
Take my shirt half off.
It's half off.
Okay, I'm oh, now we have to get a shot of it? Oh, God. All right, go ahead.
Speaking of heels.
Brian?
Yeah?
Oh,
me?
Talking about heels, yeah. Yeah.
All right, then, if you're done. So the Death Riders, after Dynamite, they're tending to Marina Shafir. They're refusing to cut a promo. Claudio has finally had enough. He addresses the ops. He's sick of them sticking their nose in his business. He curses them, I assume, in Swiss and or German or something. And the whole time, he's standing there, staring at the camera, practically spitting and snarling. He's not going to yell, but he's very intense. He's in a foul, foul mood. The whole time, his shadow, Wheeler Yuta, is there, just being there, scowling. He's not barely making his presence known. You can see him not doing anything. And Claudio's wrapping things up. He challenges the ops to face him, I guess, at All In. He says, "That trio's championship is mine." And out of nowhere, Wheeler shouts, "And mine too!" Perfect little toady. Absolutely perfect little toady. Great stuff. Mark Briscoe and Hologram and Mystico versus Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero and Hechicero. I must correct something I said a week or two back after the All In Mexico show, or the Grand Slam Mexico show. I was wrong about Mystico's song. It will work in the U.S. It was made abundantly clear here. They start playing this ballad, and the fans are singing along, and he comes out, and it's Ontario, California, which probably helped. Mm-hmm. But they're into it. It's a different song. It's a different entrance. It makes it stand out rather than just another masked guy on a show that has a lot of masked guys.
I have no idea why anybody would think this song wouldn't get over. I mean, is the original Wyatt song not a ballad?
I never thought of it that way.
It is.
It's spooky. It's in a minor key.
It's a slow, you know.
It has a down tempo.
Maybe a ballad isn't the right term, but it's certainly not a...
It's dirge, yes.
A dirge?
Excellent. It is a dirge.
Yes. God.
Super dirge.
Yes, super dirge.
The point is that people like this song, and the funniest thing was they were trying to sing it, but no one knew the words.
Well, like eight people.
Yeah. They just hummed it really loud.
Yeah. They're just saying nonsense. La, 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 la. So, the match is fun. It starts off as a party match with a little more lucha flavor than usual. Then there's a long heat segment on Hologram. He hot tags Mystico. Then it's back to the party match. Everyone's taking turns doing stuff. Mystico taps out Rocky with La Mystica out of nowhere. They play his song again, and I think what really made it great the second time, and maybe even the third time, because they didn't play it a third time.
Actually, they played it four times.
Before, right. I stand corrected.
In the building, they played that song, I believe, four times all the way through, and he wouldn't leave. And finally, like, if this would happen in ICW, Tim would have come out with, like, a cane and started beating people. Yep. But Tony, like, actually started coming through the tunnel. He was going to get the hook. But then Mystico finally left, and then, of course, Tony hugged him.
This is the first time we're hearing that story.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
It's a very Mystico story.
Yes.
So, the highlight to me of all this was at the end, as we've noted, it's a slow song. It sounds like a love song. I don't know the lyrics myself, but Mark Briscoe's in there, the Sussex County Chicken, pumping his fist to the ballad, playing air guitar to a song that barely has any guitar.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
I thought this match was a great little lucha party match. Rocky's awesome. He can do any style in the world. Yeah. You know, he was in there to do the job, La Mystica. It is now, has to be a rib on me that they announce every week. Now Hologram is 27-0. Still cannot get himself a title shot under any circumstances.
He needs a manager.
He does need a manager. Where's smart Mark Sterling or somebody? Anyway,
speaking of managers,
very good match.
Speaking of managers, Trent Beretta had to remind, me, that they're part of the Don Callis family.
They are, yes.
And I have been paying attention, and I knew that, but you think they would call more attention to it if his family is
no,
so large.
Don't start, Craig. You'll get it.
I know. I'm overthinking, so that's all it is. Also, when they're playing a song and Mark's like... air guitaring, they do a wide shot, and like a lot of the crowd has their phones out, and they're using them like lighters.
Oh yeah,
waving them back and forth.
Oh, it's totally over now.
Well, fantastic.
One big show in Mexico, one show in the U.S., and this is now a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was very wrong about it. So afterwards, MJF comes up on the screen. He's accompanied by MVP, and he calls out both Mark Briscoe and Mystico. He says he'll consider talking to Mark one-on-one for the talkie talk on Wednesday. But as for the Casino Gauntlet Battle Royal, he knows Mystico has entered it, but it doesn't really matter because he vows he and Mark Briscoe are going to start, and he's going to beat Mark Briscoe's ass and pin him before anyone else can enter. And he says this, and they cut back to the ring, and Mark says, "Dang!"
No, he goes, "Kiss my ass!"
Well, later it was "Kiss my ass."
Okay.
At this point, it was "Dang!" Like, he's disappointed. Like, he believes him. He thought he was going to win, but now it turns out he's going to lose quickly. And later, after Montel insulted Mystico in Spanish, then he said, "Kiss my ass." And they play the song again. And there you go. We see Swerve and Anna Jay and the Outrunners making an appearance at a NASCAR event.
Finally! No, you know how often these AEW folks do stuff, like big things outside of AEW, and they never show footage of it. You would never know. In fact, most of you listening don't even know 80% of the stuff that they do outside of AEW, and they need to do more of this. It doesn't need to be long.
No, it doesn't.
How long was this thing? 30 seconds?
Probably.
But goddamn, you showed them at this NASCAR event, and they were like celebrities there. Like, this stuff happens all the time, and we never see it. So I was glad we finally saw it here on this show.
With the Max Caster Open Challenge.
Okay. This Max Caster thing, y'all know how I feel, okay? But he comes out, and he says his thing, you know, crowd, let's chant along. They chant along, and he doesn't like it. And then he says, "Guys, it's my life's work. I fucking lost it."
He's so sincere when he said it.
He finally broke me. He finally got me. When he said, "This is my life's work," I half laughed and also half cried. Because you know what happened here, everybody? You know who accepted the open challenge?
I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you do, because you watched the show.
Yeah,
sure.
I took notes.
The open challenge was accepted by Scorpio Sky.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They did a video package for Scorpio Sky. They showed his history in the early days of AEW, because as they noted, he has not had a match on AEW television in 658 days.
Wow.
Which I'm not good at math, but I think there's 365 days in a year.
About a year and 8 months.
So 658 is almost 2 years. He's not had a match on television.
Yeah.
And he came out with Chris Daniels, who apparently will be his manager, looks like, as well as Top Flight and Layla Gray. Mm-hmm. And they didn't explain anything other than this, like where he's been or why. But he came out, and the place goes nuts for this guy.
It is. They are in SoCal.
They went nuts for him. Mm-hmm. And they're chanting, "Welcome back," and they're going crazy. And he wins in less than a minute. And then he poses on the corner. Everyone's going wild. And I thought, this guy who has been gone for 658 days is more over than Max Caster with his current gimmick.
Well, yeah.
His life's work.
So where to begin here? Scorpio Sky, they reminded me, is in fact a former TNT champion in this very company. He was at one time the second highest decorated singles wrestler in the entire roster.
Mm-hmm.
Things have changed. But, yeah. And he comes out, and I was critical of him and his position. I thought he was over-pushed when he was TNT champion. That was my opinion. And said that. He comes out here. I don't know how old he is. He still has a great physique. He looked great for the 60 seconds or less that he was in there. And the crowd was totally into him. And he showed him training. And he comes out in like with a Rocky knockoff theme. And I think it was supposed to be LA Dodger inspired gear.
Yes.
But for one night, it worked. We'll see where it goes from here. But hey.
Guy was over.
Scorpio Sky was over and felt like a big deal. It worked here. As for Caster, two things. I am pretty sure that he was actually out here in a baseball cap that said, "Worst rapper alive." Well, I kept trying to pause my screen to read it clearly.
I mean, that was his gimmick for a while there. Remember, he kept forgetting his lines.
Fumbling stuff.
All I know is that Scorpio Sky was super over here, but he is with Top Flight and Layla Gray, and they've been booked like geeks.
That is
so
true.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of, Ricochet is looking for geeks.
They're good candidates.
And apparently he's found some guys who actually aren't geeks.
No, they're not geeks.
The Gates of Agony.
Yeah.
Well, they killed geeks.
Yes. Boy, did they kill geeks.
Yeah, Blake Christian and Lee Johnson were killed.
Yeah, and they were so dead, I didn't recognize them until
Oh, I recognize Blake Christian.
Shivani, I guess.
They made sure to beat him up off screen so that he wouldn't outshine the Gates of Agony getting his ass kicked. So he was just dead.
I hadn't thought of that, but that's a good point.
Yes, when he showed up.
By the way, have you ever Googled Rich Caster, Max's dad? I'm sure you have not. He was
I haven't, but he's a famous guy.
Tight end of the NFL in 1970s. Yes. Very successful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He has a better mustache than his son, or had at least a better mustache than his son.
Pretty impressive, because that's a pretty nice mustache.
It is, actually.
I'm not a mustache guy at all.
I compare them side by side. These are two men who can get away with mustaches. That's true. But Rich has a better mustache, a better afro, and way better sideburns. But otherwise, looks just like his
son. I've been thinking a lot about mustaches, because ever since I've been talking about mustaches on this show, I see them everywhere, because for some reason, with the younger generation, they've decided that mustaches aren't so bad. You know?
It's one of those things. Yeah.
I mean, they're wrong, but
here's what I've learned, okay? Mustache, if you're trying to bring back the mustache, okay, you got to realize that even in the 70s, not everybody could pull off the mustache. That's why people made fun of the mustache, and they called it the porn stash, and et cetera, et cetera. But if you recall, there were certain guys that could pull off the mustache, okay? Well, I've determined that the secret is that you have to have a lot of mustache.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
You have to have a big old thick mustache, or
Steve Harvey,
something like that. All these guys that have the wispy thin mustache, they think you look horrible. Like, shave that shit off. It looks terrible. Yes. Either get like a mustache transplant. Apparently, you can, like, do that.
I'm sure you could.
Like a hair transplant, but it's on your beard. Yeah. You had to at least fill it, like, way out, or just stop it. I see these guys at the gym with these wispy, thin mustaches, and I just, like, want to go up to them and just go, dude, like, you're obviously in the gym because what you're trying to do is, like, look better, right? You don't go to the gym with the idea that you're going to look worse. Well, if you want to look better, the first thing you can do is just cut that fucking thing off your face, because it looks horrible. Like, if you cut that off your face, like, that's the equivalent of 3 months here at the gym. 6 months. Anyway.
I'm sure I've told the story before.
Yes, Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck's a good one. I worked at a grocery store in the mid-90s when I was in high school, I was bagging groceries, and the store had a no facial hair policy. And out of nowhere, I don't know why, one day the entire company said, all right, you can grow a mustache.
Mm.
Guess what every single guy there did?
Oh,
sure.
What a creepy grocery store that must have been.
I can't do a mustache. I just can't.
Yeah.
It just would not work at all.
I blame the newest Top Gun movie. As soon as that movie came out and all the stars had mustaches, it was...
No, it was prior to that.
No, it was a landslide of mustache right after.
Well, I mean, that was probably to a degree as well, but people have been trying this now for a good 3, 4, 5 years.
Well, that's how long the movie's been out, Brian.
No, nah, that's more recent than that, isn't it? God damn it. Now I gotta look.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Willow Nightingale versus
2022. It's only been a couple of years.
That's 3 years.
People were trying before that.
Oh my gosh.
They were. God
you
damn
just
it.
You said it was been 3 or 4 years.
And it was 5, 6 years, I said.
And I'm still wrong.
Anyway. Okay. Willow?
Yeah,
play
sure.
That movie.
It's Willow Nightingale versus Vipress. Vipress, apparently a local worker, had a large following. And in fact, Willow actually got booed a little bit for killing her. Until they start to trade blows for a little bit, and Vipress has gotten to. So she backs up. She starts pacing around the ring, tying her hair up in a bun, putting her hair up, as they say. Willow's standing there watching the crowd, like, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. And Vipress gets her hair up, and she hits them ropes and comes off, and Willow just runs over like a freight train with a pounce. It was awesome. Place goes crazy. Willow pins her with a doctor bomb. It was fun. It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun while it lasted. It was short.
Yeah, it was a squash match. And then Statlander still watching backstage. Wheeler Yuta is still trying to recruit her. She is still blowing him off. Same old, same old. What the fuck is up with Moxley and her phone or whatever? Was that supposed to change something?
No, yeah. Vinny. They've been trying to recruit her for seemingly
5 years.
Yes. But she doesn't want help. But it's been made very clear everyone needs help, which is true, by the way. But she thinks she doesn't. If you've been watching her career over the last 6 months, she needs help. They're not wrong. So I think that she should hook up with these Death Riders.
I think something should happen.
Well, sure.
I feel like I've watched this exact same
segment. Well, we got to get to All Out or All In.
It may be all out.
Or all out.
It's low on the priority list, I admit that. But still. So last Wednesday, I forgot about this until I had thought about it. They had a spot for the number two match in the gauntlet, and Anthony Bowens was in it and did not win. So he's backstage. I don't know if he's beaten or despondent, but he can't even stand up. He's slumped against a box of crates or a stack of crates or whatever. Billy Gunn interrupts the promo to pull him up, and Bowen says, well, thanks for your help now. And Billy says, what I remembered was that you told him not to go out with you.
Yes.
So don't get mad at him,
and
Bowens.
And then Bowens claims he never said that.
Am I high?
I thought he said
that. I thought he said it. So they agree. There's bumps in the road. They need to get back together and figure this out. Bowens says, I'm desperate. I got to win now. I need to win this gauntlet. And Billy says, trust me, and holds out two fingers and the scissor.
Is the idea that we're supposed to want the Acclaim to get back together?
I believe that's the plan.
Because it certainly appears both of these men are floundering as singles.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I know people are going to go like, well, Max is over. He's floundering. He never wins, you see? His partner also never wins.
He won twice
by
and
definition,
never wins since.
They are floundering as singles. They were certainly more successful when they won championships as a team. So I don't know what I know what's happening.
Best thing on either show.
Oh my God.
Best thing I saw all weekend. Best match I have seen maybe in weeks, maybe months.
This fantastic fucking match. Remember when people said the Outrunners?
A comedy act.
Ugh.
They're a comedy act. Yeah. They're past their peak.
They're flash in the pan.
Let me tell you something,
get
everybody.
Pop and be a little tired of them.
Let me tell you something. This was a double taping.
Huh, yeah, we went to one of those.
Yep, this was a double taping. They had taped 2 hours in an overrun, so we'll say 2 hours and 10 minutes. And then we were over an hour into this episode, so we're 3 hours and 15 minutes or so into this taping. And this fucking match, this place was going wild. And they were going wild, and I'm not taking anything away from FTR. They were fucking awesome in this match. But what got the people going was the Outrunners making comebacks on FTR.
Yeah.
God damn, when they went for that fucking son of a bitch elbow and it got broken up.
Dude.
Those people were furious.
Living and dying with every near fall by that point in the
match. Furious. Yes. And of course, they built up to the actual son of a bitch elbow, and then the place just went wild. And, you know, they're chanting, you're still bald, and they're into the heat, and they're into the comebacks. And the match itself, this was the most old school Ohio Valley wrestling. It fucking started with a double backdrop.
That's right.
Here's an Ohio Valley
a
backdrop.
A double backdrop followed by a pair of flying head scissors.
Yes.
It's a 1983 match, man.
Basic heat, but, you know.
But effective.
Truth cuts. He's bleeding all over the place. They're getting heat on his bloody head. And it's just so simple, but this place is going wild for everything. I posted on Twitter, this match was fucking awesome or something. And I always get, you know, all sorts of stupid things that people say on Twitter. But one in particular was like so funny. This guy, I think it might have been a bot, because I can't imagine an actual person actually saying this. But he said something like, probably Flippy, or something like that. You know, making fun because like AEW does high spots or whatever.
Sure.
And I was like, it's FTR and the Outrunners. You know what there wasn't in this fucking match? A flip. There were high spots, but it was like a fucking 1980s high spot. This was the most old school 1984 Mid-South house show, big event at the fucking wherever. I loved this match.
Oh, it was awesome.
Loved it.
Truth is so great as a babyface in peril. And he's bleeding, and he's fighting and sweating, and he's in deep... You know this man's in deep trouble. This man's about to die if he doesn't get a tag out soon. And you don't want him to die, because he's Truth, and he's awesome. So the fans are invested. They're so hot for this that in the middle of the heat, Cash just grabs him and just sits down in a side headlock. Not even like a takeover. He just sits down with it, and the place is chanting and stomping their feet, and Cash looking around like, holy shit, this is easy. It was great. So the whole time this is going on, they're also they're dropping Turbo across the stairs, and they're yanking him off the apron. So both guys are getting beat up for this. So when Turbo finally does get a hot tag, he's at much less than 100%, and he can do a couple of punches, But he goes that body slam. Oh, the leg gives out and he grabs his knee because he got dropped across the stairs. So Cash charges. Turbo fires up. It's a big lariat. And now he gets that one giant body slam. And it's like Hogan slamming Andre. He got one, a super reaction of one body slam. But he goes down. He's selling again. And he looks over at the bloody heap that is Truth Magnum over in the corner. And he shouts, Truth! Get in here! And on their hands and knees, they crawl over Cash's body. And they start to shake. And they start to raise their hands slowly and slowly. And the crowd's getting more and more into it. They do the best son of a bitch elbow ever. They're still both on their knees when they clasp hands and use that leverage to pull each other up to their feet and drop the elbow on this man. Place is white hot, white hot. And then, of course, Dax breaks up the pin because he sucks. Everyone hates him. And he's bald.
They do not like bald people.
Not on this night. Place is just absolutely on fire. They trade a bunch of big moves. The Outrunners bust out a shatter machine, which is FTR's finish. Place is like, holy shit, they're going to beat these assholes with their own move. What a victory. But because they've been beat up so bad, the pin is delayed by 3, 4, 5 seconds. They finally make a cover, and now Cash or whoever has time to come over and break up the save. Crowd was heartbroken at that point. Left at the altar, heartbroken at that near fall. And they do a few more things, and they finally just hit Turbo with a shatter machine, and Stokely holds Truth's foot so he can't make the save, and they pin Turbo. FTR wins. Seriously, one of my favorite matches in months.
It really was incredible.
Please go out and see this incredible match.
Yes. I mean, we see all of these wild AEW matches, but like this was something special. This is a match that, like, I mean, if they had like a real training school, I mean, this is a match that they should just make everybody watch over and over, because this is tag team wrestling. If you want to add some extra cool shit, you know, and do whatever, you know, the Young Bucks, they'll add all sorts of crazy shit, but they do the same basic match. I mean, a basic tag match is a basic tag match. And these guys, they were just incredible. I love this match.
I know early on when the Outrunners, you know, came to AEW and we were very high on them, people were actually angry with us because they're just a comedy act. This match proves they are not just a comedy act. These guys listen to the crowd. They know what to do and when to do it. And they just had an awesome match.
There's a difference between a comedy act and like an act that gets over with comedy, but can work.
Sure.
Sure.
That's what they are.
Yeah.
Like, nothing against MXM Collection, okay? But they're not going to have a match like this.
No.
They're a comedy act. The whole act is comedy. And you laugh. And they go out there and they just kind of have a whatever match or whatever. Nothing against the guys, but, you know, you got to find a way to get yourself over. How many teams have, like, not managed to get themselves over in AEW, no matter how many big moves they do? God bless Top Flight. They're exactly where they were 5 years ago. God bless. I mean, you can just rattle off one team after another. I mean, they do all the big moves. We don't even know where Private Party is. They dropped off the face of the earth. But, like, you can do all the big moves you want, but, like, you got to find a way to get yourself over. And this guy, listen to this story. This guy goes, I sat next to the Outrunners at a Rampage taping 3 years ago. They were seat fillers at Rampage, and now they're killing it.
Nice.
Dude, these guys showed up, and whatever wacky comedy, whatever their gimmick was, they fucking walked in and got over. But they can also work, as we saw in this and many other matches as well. Yeah, if you want to just like do nothing with them, they're not going to be as over as they could be. But goddamn, don't tell me these guys can't work and they're a fucking comedy team. And granted, they were in there with FTR, one of the best teams ever. But still,
yeah,
fuck, this match was great.
Yep.
Like, you can't watch Truth in the Heat segment and his selling and go, ah, fucking guy can't work. He was being carried by FTR. He was awesome.
Yeah. Anna Jay and Ty Mello and Queen Aminata and Thunder Rosa versus Tekla and Megan Bain and Penelope Ford and Athena.
We almost saw this exact match.
I feel like I've seen...
No, what happened was we saw this match, a variation of it,
yes,
in Kent.
On Saturday.
Yep.
Collision on Saturday.
And then on Wednesday, they shot an angle, which I was like, why did you just shoot an angle for a match we already saw? Oh, you're doing almost the exact same match the next time. That's what happened here.
They tweak some of the pieces. They maybe get a trios match instead of an eight-person match. But yes, these same eight women just keep on fighting each other. So Queen Aminata's got this move where she basically does a plank and then grabs your head with her feet and using her feet, pulls your face into her ass.
Oh my gosh.
Per commentary, this move is apparently called the Chocolate Kisses. I have no further comment.
Fair.
So, they're doing some stuff. Tekla and Penelope somehow end up doing Tree of Woe poses in opposite corners as their teammates, which is kind of cool, I guess. Turns into a parade of big moves. Athena outshines everyone, as she usually does. And Athena and Rosa brawl to the back. They're fighting for the Ring of Honor women's title at Supercard of Honor this Friday.
Yes.
In an otherwise uneventful weekend. And they brawl to the back. Megan, Sky Blue flies in out of nowhere and is attacking Ty Conti. Or Ty, I always call it Ty Mello. But she's out there for like 20 seconds before anyone says her name. Or even acknowledges her. There is so much going on in this mess. I shouldn't say mess. There's a lot going on.
Actually, I thought this match was pretty damn good.
Yeah, I should not say
I mean, I've seen a lot of matches, and some have involved Queen Aminata, where they're not exactly pretty. But everyone, I thought, in this match, everybody looked good. And even at the end, when there's like a million people doing a million different things, like everybody was where they were supposed to be. And I think part of it is, even though we're making fun of basically seeing the exact same match over and over again, what we are seeing is all of these women are now working regularly.
That's
okay?
True.
Yeah. They're not doing house shows, which would be even better, but at least they're working like every single week, which is a lot better than working once every 2 months or once every month or whatever. And you can see that like they're improving. That's good.
That is a good thing. So Megan Bain does this running lariat, similar to like The Undertaker's big running lariat. They just run, jump, close on the person. It's a simple move. They call it the Decapitator, which is my favorite part, is when she misses it. Because then she just launches herself high and far into the air and comes down and lands on her face, and I laugh every time. But she hit it at the end on Anna G, I believe. Hits a very scary running power bomb and pinned her. Chaotic fun, I dubbed this match. And then Shivani dubbed it a big win, which I do not agree with. But
Athena is wrestling Rosa on ROH?
Ring of Honor.
Supercard of Honor, yes.
Yes, this Friday. Why was she terrified of this woman?
Just playing
mind games. They're trying to get over the challenger.
Yeah, playing mind games with her. Because she tagged in, and Rosa tagged in, and she tagged right back out. That didn't happen.
I don't think anyone thinks Tony is winning, so give her something.
Yeah. Fair. The way she was running away through the tunnel with her hands flailing up in the air. That was money.
Well, maybe that's why. They just knew she could be a funny runner.
It popped me. That's all that counted.
We got a hype video for... They named her at the very end. But the whole time I'm thinking, who are you? Have I seen you? Should I recognize you? What's going on here? And she tore up the UK scene, had some appearances on AEW, tore her ACL, refused to quit, said wrestling is the only thing that made her feel alive. She wants to prove to her son that she's one of the best of the world, and finally identifies herself, I am Alex Windsor. Okay, great. If they didn't name her, I was going to throw a fit, but they did. Your main event is Kyle Fletcher versus Danny Garcia. There's a point here a minute or two in when Fletcher is just zipping her all over the place and wiping Garcia out with shoulder tackles. And I had a rant halfway typed up about how wrestling is best when it's simple shit done very well, and it's too bad nobody appreciates this anymore. And then just then, at the exact same spot, the crowd is chanting, "This is awesome," because these shoulder tackles were so great. So I guess they do appreciate great wrestling still. I was wrong.
My favorite part of the match was when they battled outside and Kyle posed by a Fletch light sign.
That's right, yes.
Oh my God, Nigel could barely control himself.
Yeah.
And the glee in which Don Callis says, "That's the Fletch light area!" Dying. It's a good match.
Oh, I had a very good match. And Garcia is bleeding everywhere. His nose is pretty clearly broken. I don't think it sucked. But it's one of those where it just made the match better because I was fighting through injury. And Kyle looks... His nose is broken and like Russ checking on him, and Callis is like, that's disgusting! Stop this match immediately! But instead, Garcia catches Fletcher in a flying body scissors, takes him down to a dragon tamer. They do the suicide suplex where you suplex the guy over the top rope and then the suplexer goes with him. And I don't know this, but I would not be surprised if this was done just as a rib on Dax, because Dax tried it in the Outrunners match, screwed it up. Which actually turned out even better, because he suplexes whichever guy it was out of the ring. That guy flies out. Dax fucks up the going over part by himself. So he stops and lets the momentum face plant him down to the mat, sells his face, and then just rolls outside. So it's still awesome. Anyway, they're fighting outside, and off the suicide suplex, and Garcia's like shaking, and everyone's thinking this match will be stopped. Adam Cole leaves the commentary desk to give him a pep talk, and
yeah, he goes, "Hey man, get up! You can do this. Get your ass in the ring. Come on!"
And the whole time, Kyler's waiting in the opposite corner and smiling.
Oh yeah, this guy's dead.
Please get in. And please get in. Meet.
He got in and he got kicked and brain-bustered and pinned.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, with friends like Cole.
Well,
they don't need enemies.
They're rivals as well. So who knows?
I think Danny's turning sooner rather than later. And honestly, it's probably time.
Yeah,
it's easy. You just beat up old Daddy Magic. You know.
Yeah.
Bloody him up.
Yeah, I really like the match. I really, really, really like the way that the winner of this match was decisively the winner.
Yeah, we're not having a multi-person match. We didn't have a draw. We didn't have a run-in.
This was not a split decision. This was a unanimous 10-8 round.
Kyle Fletcher beat the shit out of this guy and pinned him.
Yes.
And now it's him and Cole for the title at All In.
Hell
almost
yeah.
Almost certainly a title change, I would say.
It was a nice little touch when they were brawling on the outside and they're right next to Cole and Fletcher just picks him up and gives him the power bomb on the apron, just like he did to Cole, and Cole's despondent when that happened. So nice touch.
Yes.
I would say this was the best collision in a long ass time.
That's the one we went to.
Great show.
I love that show. This was a better show than that one. That may have had a more fun closing.
I had a fun time at that show in Kent, but this was a much better show.
This was better, yeah.
Yes.
We also watched WWE SmackDown July 4th, 2025. Yes, it was only 2 hours.
It was a very by-the-numbers show.
Still felt very long. Maybe that's why.
It didn't feel long. It just was like, nothing happened.
Basically, yeah.
One good match in there.
Solo arrives at the building with a shiny U.S. title belt.
But as
the car pulls up, Jacob Fatu runs in, attacks him through the window of the car, kills everyone in this little faction. I believe at one point here he called JC Mateo a Samoan Judas.
I just like that he's beating ass and he's screaming, "All gas, no brakes," as he's beating ass. Like, they found out what people like to hear out of this guy, and now he just yells it all the time.
I can actually imagine getting my ass kicked by Jacob Fatu and he'd just be screaming that.
Yes. He also screamed dumbass.
I can see him screaming that too.
Yeah, I don't know what I mean. I can't do it. He did that one too. Yeah. As he's beating ass.
Cody Rhodes comes out for a promo. Copious clips of Cody beating Randy Orton at Night of Champions, winning himself a title shot. Acknowledges a young fan named Cam battling leukemia. A very nice moment. So talks about he's king of the ring now. The main event of SummerSlam is Cody, Cena 2. Orton interrupts. Says, "I hesitated. You didn't. That's why you won. Promise me you'll kick John Cena's ass." Drew McIntyre interrupts. Says Cody won because he stabbed Orton in the back, his surgically repaired back, which Orton tweaked, and Cody attacked. "You, Randy Orton, you couldn't bring yourself to punt him. Back in the day, you were punting Hall of Famers in the head. I had to try and save them from the monster you were. Cody, I want you to win so I can rip that title out of your hands. I won't hesitate, unlike somebody," and he turns around and eats an RKO. But Randy is still sad. Randy wanted this title match for himself.
There, he's pretty disappointed in everything here. I do like the slow build to the Randy Cody split. You know, it's coming at some point.
Yeah. Somehow that all took 15 minutes.
Yeah.
A completely unrecognizable Charlotte Flair is backstage talking to Nick Aldis. I seriously thought it was Chelsea Green. She has changed a lot.
I think it's just how she did her hair.
That's a big part of it. She's lost a ton of weight, and she's changed her hair, and looks different. So she wants a title shot. Nick says the only way to get a title match is to win a tag team title match with your partner, Alexa Bliss. And Alexa's right there. Charlotte doesn't want to team with her. They point out Tiffany gets to pick her own challenger. She's not going to pick you. This is the only way you can get Gold at Evolution. And Charlotte agrees, beyond looking terrible, she looked different. Her performance was terrible here, like sub-NXT levels of acting.
Well, this whole Charlotte-Alexa thing is just, it's just weird, because Charlotte is supposed to be a babyface. Everybody has hated her since she came back. She was gotten to, and like it messed up all of her promos, because she wasn't happy about it. And they still try to push her as a baby face, but she still gets booed. And then Alexa comes back, and they do love Alexa. But now Alexa wants a team with Charlotte, who they don't like. So that whole thing is weird. And then, you know, Alexa keeps trying to be friends with Charlotte. Charlotte doesn't want to be friends with her. And finally here, Alexa goes, "Well, you know what? We don't need to be friends. We just need to be a team. So, like, weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks have led to this, okay? So, to cut to the chase, they do the Meechan and Charlotte versus Alexa, or Meechan and B-Fab versus Charlotte and Alexa match, and the Secret Hervis. And they do this match, and Alexa tosses Alba off the top. Charlotte spears Piper. She moonsaults both of them. She pats Alexa on the head like she's a little child, which Alexa doesn't like. But then Alexa, they count that as a tag.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexa hits a Twisted Bliss for the pin. And so, okay, fine. I know where this is going, I thought. Charlotte's going to be pissed that Alexa stole the spotlight from her. Alexa's going to be pissed that Charlotte patted her on the head like she's a little child. Instead, they both get in the ring. They look at each other and they fucking hug. Mm-hmm. And now they're just friends. I was like, what? What? At least it's fucking over.
Is it?
Well, I mean, we got through the bullshit to get him as a team, but like, that was a very abrupt. I don't know if they just figured this has gone on long enough. Let's just fucking get him together and get it over with. But they did. And so, yeah, they are now tag champ. They're a tag team that doesn't hate each other, which I'm fine with.
For now.
Yes.
So before that,
yes,
Drew McIntyre confronts Nick Aldis. I want a match with Randy Orton. You can have him at Saturday night's main event. Fine. Drew has a brief stare down with Jacob Fatu, who is there. So Aldis scolds Jacob for attacking people at the parking lot. Says, you want to fight him so bad, you find a tag team partner. You can face two guys in Solo's crew tonight. Jimmy Uso steps up to Tim with Jacob tonight. Then is the triple threat tag match. Secret Hervis versus B-Fab and Meechan versus Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. Stupid new rules with one person from each team in the ring at the same time. That's dumb. Piper Niven having the same haircut as Mrs. Garrett from Facts of Life was my favorite thing on the show so far. So what happened here was we waited 25 minutes for some wrestling. They wrestled for 2 minutes and then went to a 2.5 minute commercial break. It's still SmackDown, folks. I don't know why people watch this show. I'm baffled. So this is not a good match. Beyond the finish, not making sense. Very little looked good.
Two dives where someone almost died.
Three. Right before the break, there were three of the scariest dives you will ever see in a row.
Yep.
And B-Fab gets a tag that is supposed to be hot, but nothing looks good. Charlotte looks bad. B-Fab looks bad. Everything looks bad. Alexa runs wild. It's the first time it felt like a professional wrestling match. And they do this finish that you talked about. And so Charlotte and Alexa win. They are apparently friends. They're getting a title shot. This match sucked.
Yeah.
It's funny. My son and I got into a conversation, and I asked him, if you did a dive like Meechan did and come up short and you crashed and burned on the pretty black mats, would you want the camera to catch that for all to see, or would you hope that never gets brought up again?
Bro, if I'm almost killed, it better be on tape.
That's what I said. My son was like, no, I don't want anybody to see it if I messed up.
All the tag teams are backstage shouting at each other and blaming each other for winning or losing or interfering or not interfering. So they book Fraxian versus Rey Fenix, and I wrote Rey Fenix and somebody because there's so much going on here I couldn't even hear who he said, but it's Andrade, which we'll get to later. And then the other four teams that are there will split in half, like reverse Voltron, and we'll take those four men and team them against the Wyatts.
Golly. You know, everyone always talks about Vince and Triple H, and a lot of people try to claim nothing has changed, even though so much has changed. And I'll tell you one big change. Whatever you want to say about Vince, if there had been a match like that Wyatt Six match about 3 weeks ago that was a fucking train wreck disaster, and what's his name? It was Joe Gacy and
Dexter Lumis.
Dexter.
Dexter was the one cursing out loud.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Dexter in the middle of it just goes, God damn it!
Yelled the F word.
Yeah, he dropped an F-bomb on network television. He was so pissed off. Yeah. If that would happen under Vince, they'd be done.
Yeah.
Done. But Triple H is just barreling on with this Wyatt push. Like, they're still winning every week. We had the Wyatt Six against Berto, Sabin, Gargano, and Montez. And, you know, the fans, they don't care about the Wyatts. They like their entrance. They like their music. They don't care at all about their wrestling. None of them. Doesn't matter who tags in. They just watch. And like the other team, like everybody on the other team is great. But in the end, the Vintner hits that claw slam and and they win again. Whatever.
Yes. Johnny Gargano was there, and Saban wanted to tag out, but Gargano was scurred and backed off, and so Saban was trapped, and Rowan pinned him, and that's that. There's like 14 teams in this division, and I don't think I know if any of them are baby faces or heels. I have no idea what's going on.
Well, I was going to try and... I think Saban and Shelley are baby faces.
They should be, and Fraxium...
DIY or heels. I think the Street Profits are baby faces now, but they were heels.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
Berto and Company.
I think they're heels.
The other fella.
I think. But here's the problem. They always say that SmackDown has the best tag team division in the world. And I don't know if I would say the best tag team division in the world, but I will say that they got a pretty fucking great tag team division.
I like all these teams.
But you would never know it because the booking of this division is an atrocity.
It is a crime.
Because they got so many great teams, and instead of like, okay, this month we're going to be focusing on DIY versus Saban and Shelley, and we're going to do a series, and we'll do a tag match, and then, okay, here come the Street Profits or whatever. But instead, it's like, we have seven teams, and they're all going to be feuding with each other at the same fucking time. Yep. Like, what?
It's just a...
And so none of the matches mean anything.
Exactly.
Oh, this week it'll be Berto and his buddy against Saban and Shelley, and then next week they're going to face the Vintner. And it's like, who cares? What's the point of any of this? Like, none of the teams are really getting over. Like, they're all exactly at the same level. They're just having the same matches with each other week after week. It's like, you have the teams to have maybe the best division in all of wrestling, but instead you just mixed them all together into this mess. Which, by the way, this has been happening for months. Because leading up to Mania, we were like, oh, they're going to have a multi-person tag feud at Mania. And then we figured, okay, well, one of them will win and then we'll... No, it just keeps going. All these teams just mixed together with each other.
Yeah, I thought when the Wyatt showed up, we'd have an end game in mind. But no.
No.
It just made things more chaotic.
Yes. Yeah. And the team, God bless them, the worst team of all is the one winning all the matches.
That is true. Julia promo video done in Japanese with subtitles. Some wacky dialogue. Blue flames don't flicker. Blue flames burn everything down. But she is the women's U.S. champion, and we are all about to feel the heat of beautiful madness. Let's get herself over there. Tiffany Stratton comes out for a promo. Brags about beating Nia Jax. She will... Well, Jade Cargill will get a title shot at SummerSlam. But before that, we have to get through Evolution. She gets to pick her own opponent for Evolution. Jade here interrupts. She brags about beating Asuka. Warns Tiffany to choose her opponent wisely. Otherwise, she won't make it to SummerSlam to face Jade. And Tiffany then brings out Trish Stratus. And if you watch this show with Trish striding down to the ring in her pink cat suit, I want to remind you all, she turns 50 in December.
Yeah, she's our age.
Yeah. She comes out. Wade says, she makes me feel young and virile!
Thank God for Wade, because he was the only one with life in this entire segment.
That's also true.
Tiffany did the most wooden promo I've ever seen. Jade's promo was no better. And then Trish came out, and she's got nothing to sink her teeth into.
Yeah.
She's just been called out of the blue to have a match at Evolution with the champion. Who, by the way, remember when her and Tiffany were like, they like had a program kind of.
Tiffany brought it up. They were a tag team earlier this year.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden she has disappeared forever, and now they're back, and they're both baby faces. Yeah. And
well, I will say this. Tiffany explained this, and she said... I want to give this title to you because we teamed so well and because you're a legend. And for that one moment, for a brief sliver of time, she was actually acting like a babyface. I believe for the first time ever. So there's one positive thing to say about that.
And Tiffany says, it's not going to be easy for you, Trish. It's not the attitude here anymore. Trish said, that's fine. I've been known to evolve. And then all of a sudden, Tiffany just cut her off. Says, it doesn't matter. You're all going to learn that WWE runs on Tiffy time. It was like that was a line she was supposed to read. And it was like it was time in her mind. And so she just said it. It was so awkward. This whole segment was awkward.
Solo does a video with his crew, wishes America happy birthday. Please welcome the newest member of the family, Tala Tonga.
Yes.
Says this is nothing like the bloodline.
Doesn't... It's way more stronger.
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
Did say that.
Way more stronger.
I love Solo. Apparently, their name is the MFTs, My Family Tree.
Oh, I thought they were just Family Tree.
Motherfucking trees.
Huh.
That's better. Yeah.
Well, Talatanga, you know, he looks like a tree.
Yeah.
He's tall.
It's like tree beard.
Yeah, yeah. So Jade and Trish are talking more backstage. Trish leaves. Naomi zips in out of nowhere, lays out Jade with her spiffy nude custom decorated briefcase, says, "You should have proceeded with caution."
She's a Batman villain.
Naomi rules. Dude, no, she's a classic 1980s wrestling heel.
It was ridiculous.
Make a terrible joke and laugh your ass off at it. It was awesome.
Ridiculous yet great.
Naomi rules. Phyraxian versus Rey Fénix and Andrade.
This was awesome.
We got another great team now in this tag division.
Yeah.
Andrade and Rey Fénix. They have an excellent match. It's just so awesome. Good. And again, here we are. If 10, 15 teams.
If you like super intense, crazy-ass party matches, this is a match for you. This thing was so goddamn chaotic to start, it settled down into Phyraxian hitting a nonstop series of topes. That was a slow spot. So I'm watching this, and I'm enjoying it. And then I see Andrade is getting a hot tag.
Yes.
Andrade is a
baby face. Yes.
Phyraxian or default heels?
I don't know what they are. It's a baby face feud.
It did have two commercial breaks.
Yes.
Kept going a zillion miles an hour. And Phyraxian hits their finish, but Rey Fénix makes a save. So Fénix dives over Andrade to wipe out Axiom on the floor. Andrade hits a double underhook slam thing on Nathan Frazer and pins him. And, yeah, there you go. The two most over teams now are the Wyatts and these dudes, Andrade and Fénix. And it turns out later we learn the Wyatts are getting a title shot. But there you go. Damian Priest wants to know. He wants to talk to Aleister Black about R-Truth. Truth is facing Aleister on SmackDown next week. Black accuses Priest of being the good guy. Priest denies this. Nobody on the show even wants to be a babyface. And I really have no idea what's going on here, but it's clear they don't like each other. That much I can tell you. So next week on the show, there's two matches announced. Street Profits versus Wyatt Six in a tag team title match, and Truth versus Aleister Black in a singles match. That's fine, but they put graphics of both of these up at the same time. And for a long time, I thought they were doing the world's weirdest 4-on-2 handicap match. I had to figure out what's going on. And then in Evolution, Trish Stratus versus Tiffany Stratton and Jade Cargill versus Naomi. Your main event, Jacob Fatu and Jimmy Uso versus Solo Sikoa and JC Mateo. A recap of Tonga Loa returning and Tala Tonga debuting in Saudi Arabia. Heat on Jimmy, of course, as they're talking about how Jacob, he gets a hot tag, and they say it's the moment he's been waiting 6 whole days for. So
this crowd was tired. This was another double taping.
Yeah.
Because they did 2.5 hours of Raw and then went right into a SmackDown taping. So, you know, these fans were 4.5 hours in and they were tired. And I mean, really, it was sort of like, okay, well, another, you know, Fatu and Jimmy versus Solo and JC.
It does feel like another program where there's about 8 moving pieces. They just rotate them in.
Watch the same thing every week.
I do love when Fatu is making his comeback and mounts the turnbuckles and does a 10 count of headbutts. That is an awesome move. He avoids a Samoan spike, hits an impaler, hits a mighty moonsault, and pins Solo.
I laughed my fucking ass off when he pinned Solo. Because what have we been talking about now? Literally for over a year. For like almost 2 years now. They give Solo no credibility whatsoever. Right. They beat him and they beat him and they beat him and they beat him and they beat him. If you look at his win-loss record for 2025? If you look at his win-loss record for this year, I think he's won like 2 matches or 3 matches in the entire fucking year. He just loses and loses and loses and loses and loses and loses. And when he did win, the only reason he won was because Jacob helped him win or did whatever. Because the idea was we're going to get Jacob over, okay? By then, you know, it's, oh, he's got a lot of heat or whatever. The guy's not over at all, okay? So finally, you know, they do this match at the pay-per-view. And it's Solo against Jacob. And I'm like, there's no way they're taking the title off Jacob. It's just, it's not happening. And lo and behold, Solo beats him because they want to debut Tala Tonga and make it like something, you know, important or whatever. So Solo actually wins the title. He beats Jacob Fatu. The fucking very next television show. Not even a week later, Jacob Fatu pins Solo. I was like, classic. Why? Like, you know what I'm saying? God damn. Am I supposed to ever care about this guy? I can't.
I'm supposed to want to see Jacob get his title back.
Yeah.
I didn't want him to lose it.
Fair.
How does him beating this geek make me want to see him get the title back more? How did it? What did this do for anybody? God.
It gave him an excuse to continue the program.
Like, I feel bad for Solo. This poor fucking guy. Like, you can't be booked worse as a main eventer in this company. He is the worst booked main eventer in years and years and years and years. And then, like, and then he'll do matches like nobody gives a shit about his singles matches unless it's, like, against Jacob. And they, like, and actually, even that, they didn't care about that match. If you remember the pay-per-view, it's like they were dead for that match because nobody cares about Solo because he's booked as a fucking geek. And he was geeked out again here. Golly.
Geeked out.
Well, his backup geeks. And Tala Tonga and Tonga Lower there. And Tonga almost... He chokeslammed Jacob off the top rope, almost onto his head. And they all have their moves on him. They powerbomb him to the table and they pose. I mean, yes. I'm going back over my notes here. Like, by and large, everything was... Well, some of some bad. There was some bad stuff, but
nothing, it wasn't bad.
No, there was some bad stuff.
It was a show.
It was pointless. That's what the show was.
You know what's funny is like sometimes they'll do a live show, sometimes they'll do a taped show. It makes no difference in the ratings for the most part. And when a taped show does well, people ignore it. But when it does poorly, oh, it's taped. It makes no difference. It never has. Okay, but I can always tell when a WWE show is taped. Because they just feel taped. This felt like a taped show. Like, well, the crowd's been here for 2.5 hours. We got to try and get through this thing in 90 minutes or less. Get these poor fucking people out of here. It just felt like a by-the-numbers, generic, nothing happened in WWE. It wasn't bad. It was just boring.
It was very boring.
Just boring.
I agree with that.
All right. Well, we made it, everybody. I'm still recovering. But we're going to be back tomorrow with the... Actually, no. What's Sunday? Back tonight with Dave. Good God almighty.
Might be tomorrow by the time you finish.
Yeah, I'll be back with Dave tonight and then Observer Live tomorrow and Observer Radio for subscribers. This is a free show. So if you love this show, however you're listening to it, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube, you should subscribe. Or the front page, WrestlingObserver.com. Because if you sign up today, you'll get all of the All In and SummerSlam coverage in the next 30 days. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, all $9.99 a month. And if you've never signed up for the main site, f4wonline.com/new, you can get the entire front page, the whole site, half off right now. And like I said, that'll get you all the way through SummerSlam. So whether you're like AEW or WWE or both, sign up today, and All In and SummerSlam will be part of this next month. This coming Saturday, by the way, Vinny and I are just moving in.
Binge watching.
Yep, we're going to do multiple podcasts on Saturday. We're going to watch a show, do a podcast, watch a show, do a podcast, watch a show, do a podcast. So you're going to get a month's worth in one day this coming Saturday.
Yeah.
Because I also have an Observer Radio show with Dave that day. So I'll probably do 4 shows that day. So anyway, that's it, everybody. Give it a sign up, and that's it. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Good night.
Adios.